In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us quieten our hearts this evening in thanksgiving and prayer. Holy and righteous God, our dear Heavenly Father, as we have come here to gather again around your holy and precious word, we come desiring to thank you for the many, many blessings that you have given unto each one of us. We thank you for this daily bread that you have gifted us with. We thank you for our homes and our families. We thank you for those dear escorts that you have given unto us to travel with on this way to heaven. But above all these earthly things that you have blessed us with, dear Father, we desire to thank you for this greatest gift, this gift of your dear Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear Father, as we have come here this evening, we ask that you would continue to be with us. Continue to strengthen us and uplift us as we journey toward that homeland shore in heaven. Dear Father, remember those who are battling trials and difficulties in this life. Whatever those may be, dear Father, you know. Uplift and comfort each one in their own place of watching. Give unto each one of us minds and hearts to rejoice, for our names are written in that Lamb's Book of Life there in heaven. Dear Father, we pray that prayer that your dear Son has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, in the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I thought for this evening's text we would read from the book of Revelations. We will read in its third chapter, and I will read verse 11 and then 14 through the end. That would be 22. We read these words with that prayer that God, knowest our needs, and that He would give as He sees good at this time. The words are as follows in Jesus' name. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which Thou hast, that no man take Thy crown. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen. I'm not sure why these words came to my mind today. It isn't a portion of God's Word that is set aside for this Sunday. But yet, we can relate to the theme when we read these words. As we already heard through our brother this morning, the theme being to watch. This portion of God's Word that we have before us was, as we heard, it's in the Revelations, and the Apostle John there on the Isle of Patmos had seen many visions and many things were revealed to him there. It appeared to him those seven candlesticks which represented those seven churches in Asia Minor. And God revealed to him those things to write onto each of those churches at that time. God's Word is a living Word, as we all know. It is timeless. It is always new. It never gets old. And I think, dear brother and sister, we want to even remember to pray to God that this would be so in our hearts, that God's Word is always timely. It is always speaking to me. This first verse that we read, it says, Behold, I come quickly. We already heard this morning how we do not know when that time will come, when Jesus comes as that to gather His own, those that are found believing upon Him. Then He comes to take them home. It says that I come quickly. I think it's in one of the gospel texts where it speaks as lightning comes from the east to the west as it lighteth up the sky. That is how it will be at that time when Jesus comes again. So when we think about this, dear brother and sister, we see that there won't be time then to make amends with God, will there? The time of grace will then close. God will close those doors. This portion of God's Word here in this first verse that we read reminds us of that gift that we have. It says here that, "Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." Dear brother and sister, we have a precious gift. That crown of faith that God has given unto each one of us. And God's Word here is encouraging us to hold fast. Hold it securely. Hold it in highest regard. Because we know that there is one here, the enemy of souls that we battle against, that wants to take it away. He knows how special of a gift it is. That is why God's Word encourages us time and time again to take care of this gift. Hold on to it tightly. Cherish it. Thank God for it. Pray to God that He would give us that wisdom and strength and understanding to keep it close to our hearts. This portion continues with that letter to the Church of the Laodiceans. It says here that, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." Who is this meaning here when it speaks of that? It is speaking of our Heavenly Father. That He knows all. He knows the very thoughts of our hearts. He knows every step we take, dear brother and sister. He knows every word we speak. He knows every thought we make. That is how Almighty and all-knowing our Heavenly Father is. But He writes unto that angel of the church, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot." What is He speaking of here, dear brother and sister? When He speaks of cold and hot, we have all experienced this, dear brother and sister, of both of these things. We have experienced those feelings of hot, and we have experienced those feelings of cold. And this is good. Those feelings of hot, we could say, are those times when we are able to gather around God's holy and precious Word. Those times when we are able to visit with our dear brother or sister in faith and hear that precious gospel when sin has beset. Then those fires of the Holy Spirit warm our hearts so much that it feels so good that the travel on this road to heaven, the footsteps are light. But how quickly the enemy of soul comes to us and begins to taunt us and tempt us, place things in front of us that are distracting to our lives of faith. And we fall into sin. How are those feelings then, dear brother and sister? I would say we are feeling pretty cold. That we need to hear those warm fires of the gospel message. This is our battle. We battle against a threefold enemy. And I pray to God for my own part, that it always will remain to be a battle. And I pray on your behalf, dear brother and sister. This Word of God that we have before us speaks of something else. It speaks of being lukewarm. And we could ask ourselves, what does this mean? Dear brothers and sister, if we keep our house in order, we do not enter that lukewarm state. But when the enemy of souls has been victorious over us, and we continue to listen to His voice, then we can become into that lukewarm state where no longer sin bothers us. This is a dangerous place to be. When sin no longer bothers us. This is what God's Word is speaking to us of. And what does it say? So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I would say this lukewarm state can also be this, that we as fellow brothers and sisters in faith, when we don't heed the Word of God, when we hear of those things that someone is doing and we think, well, I'm not going to go and speak to them. It's just one of those things. We do not want to become lenient either and not talk of those things that are wrong. Those things that are sin before God. We can remember Eli in that book of Samuel where his sons were doing all manner of sin. And he did not rebuke them in the right way. And Samuel had to go to him. to remind them of this. We want to be diligent in teaching in our homes. We want to be diligent as servants of God. As we teach in God's kingdom at Sunday school, Bible class, this is why we come. To be instructed, to be comforted on this pathway that leads to heaven. We are here for a short time. And we know that the enemy has one purpose. And that is to break love. That is to cause us to stumble. And that is to whisper those many lies that he does. But may it always be in our lives, and as we visit with our fellow brothers and sisters in faith, our dear friends, that this precious gift of faith is top priority. Let's not let it become secondary. God is a, as the Bible speaks, is a jealous God. He doesn't want just a small little part of us, does He? But He wants our whole heart and soul. And God's Word also reminds us that in our heart there is only room for one love. So may it be so that we, on this journey of faith, continue to have those feelings of hot and cold and not fall into that state where nothing bothers me. It's a very, very dangerous place. If no longer those sins bother us, then the enemy has won over us. That is why it is so important, dear brother and sister, and you dear precious youth that are here, that we continue to put sins away as they beset. Because we are reminded here in this text that, "Behold, I come quickly." We see the things that are happening in this world today. And we do wonder, just as we heard this morning, how long will this world go on? But isn't it so, dear brother and sister, that no matter how long it goes on, God is on our side. God is with us. He will continue to comfort us and enlighten us and forgive us all our sins. And if we think about this, even if we live to be 100 years old, what is that? The Bible speaks about it being a kernel of sand along the beaches of this world. Or a drop of water in the ocean. That's how short our life is, even if we live a long life that we think is long life. This text continues, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." The latter part of this verse speaks to us about, we could say, those feelings of a believer. We remember in Matthew where Jesus spoke to those Pharisees. In Matthew chapter 9, I'm going to start with verse 11. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto His disciples, "Why eateth your Master with publicans and sinners?" But when Jesus heard that, He said unto them, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." Then He continued, He said, "But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." This is what this Word of God that we read tonight is speaking of. That those in this world that are so righteous that they don't need any help. We know ourselves that without God's help, it is impossible to get to heaven. Utterly impossible. But that's how those Pharisees and scribes were at Jesus' time. That they were so full of themselves and thought that they were living their lives according to the law. That they did no sin. We are reminded in Scriptures that even one thought, and we have broken the whole law. That's how condemning the law is. But thanks be to God that Jesus fulfilled the law. He came to save each one of us, dear brother and sister. He came to save everyone in this world, if only they would believe this precious gospel message. So when we travel in this world, we are clothed with that righteousness of Christ. That garment of righteousness which God provides through our Lord and Savior, Jesus. When we believe that gospel message that sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. But when we travel on this road to heaven, there are many times that we do, just as it speaks of here, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." What would it be like, dear brother and sister, if we were never rebuked? This is God's love for each one of us when we are reminded through our dear escorts in faith that, "Hey, is this, do you think this is right, what you're doing?" This is the love of God. And it's important that we listen to that voice, no matter who it's coming from in God's kingdom. Because this is God speaking to us. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, it says, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth." That is how it is in God's precious kingdom. We are those brothers' keepers in the walls of Zion. And it's important that we do this. That we remind one another when we have done wrong. When we see that a brother or a sister is straying from the center of the flock. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Here we see how God's doors of grace, this grace is still being offered, and it will continue to be offered till that day when this end of the world will come. And this is our prayer for those, especially on the outside of God's kingdom, that they would hear this voice of God. They would hear this call into His kingdom. So that they too could own this precious gift that you and I own, dear brother and sister. To him that overcometh, I grant, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. Here we see the victory that is before us. Dear brother and sister, you dear youth, it pays to believe. It pays to listen to that voice that is heard in God's kingdom. That Spirit of God when it speaks to us. Just as we hear in this last verse of our read text, that he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Dear brother and sister, the reward is great. Do not tire on this journey. But rather, when that tiredness comes, go to those grace fountains. Hear that precious gospel. Even now, uplift your hearts and believe. Your latest sins and doubts and worries, forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. We are on a good pathway. A pathway that leads to heaven's shore. And I assure you, dear brother and sister, that when we get there, we will not want to return here. There will be nothing but peace and joy there in heaven, where we can praise God that He has kept us close to Him. We can lay down this travel staff. It's a battle, but continue in this battle. Hold fast to that which thou hast. Uplift your hearts and believe, all of your sins and doubts forgiven. In Jesus' name and precious blood. And I too want to hear the same gospel, that can I have my many sins and doubts forgiven. My desire is to believe with you. In Jesus' name and always blessed name. Amen. Let us quieten our hearts in closing benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.